Well, ask anyone today, what is truth? And you're bound to have an interesting conversation. Don't talk about politics, of course, but unless you have good respect for people that you don't agree with. But the concept of spiritual truth, it's clearly fallen on hard times. The effects of rejecting spiritual truth have great eternal implications. If you think about it. One of the most profound questions in the Bible was posed by Pilate, who handed Jesus over to be crucified. He asked Jesus, "What is truth?" More rhetorical than wanting an answer, a cynical response to what Jesus had just said. Jesus said, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth." I've come into the world to testify to the truth. But today the whole world breathes Pilate's doubt. Some say truth is a power play, a story constructed by the controlling mass to have control over the ignorant. Or it's subjective. The individual world of preference and opinion. You can have your truth and I'll have my truth. Or a collective judgment, the product of cultural consensus, and still others flatly deny it. There is no truth. No concept of truth altogether. Well, the biblical definition is this. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, the will, the character, the glory, and the being of God. Even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. The Old Testament refers to our Heavenly Father as the God of all truth. Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 31. I think it's also in Isaiah. Don't have the address for that one. When Jesus said, "I am the truth," what was he saying? He was making a profound claim about his deity. He was also making it clear that all truth ultimately be defined in terms of God, in terms of his glory. Jesus is truth incarnate, the perfect expression of God, the complete embodiment of all that is true, the Word that became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled in our midst. And Jesus also said the Word of God, the written Word of God, is truth. It's not just, you know, little nuggets of truth found in the Scripture. It's pure, it's unchangeable, it's sacred truth. In praying to the Father on behalf of his disciples in John 17, Jesus said, probably with tears in his eyes and passion in his voice, "Sanctify them in your truth, O Father. Your word is truth." So for this morning in John 16:13, Jesus says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." The second Sunday in the season of Pentecost, the Spirit of truth. And that same word for truth, aletheia, is used twice in our passage, and once just before it in 15:26. And the word's meaning, truth, is the unveiled reality right before us. What would it have been like to see Jesus, you know, that just see what he did and see, listen to what he taught. And just to experience the presence of God. You know, we don't have that opportunity. But truth is the unveiled reality right before us. We see it clearly with our own eyes. So this morning, what does this text reveal about the function of the Spirit? The Spirit of truth, the helper. Where do we see the Spirit's activity, this unveiled reality? Is it happening right now? Do you see Jesus? Is Jesus being high and lifted up? Are we experiencing the presence of God or other activities in the church or around the community and the world? Where do we see the Spirit's activity, the unveiled reality, this truth? Well, first, in the Gospel of John, the culture is clear. There are those who believe in Jesus, and there's the world, those who do not believe in Jesus, and many that were opposed to Jesus, you know, posing a threat. That didn't bother Jesus. He just continued to be Jesus. dying and rising. But Jesus tells us what the Spirit will do. The Spirit is going to bridge the two realms. They will overlap. The kingdom and the world, and where that intersection comes, the Spirit will be working. The Spirit will do the work and guide them into all truth. And the context we know is the Last Supper, verses 5 and 6. Jesus sees that sorrow has filled their hearts. He's told them He's leaving. But He reminds them that this is not an ending, it's a new beginning. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out, the Helper. This promise. His departure doesn't bring an end. The direct benefit of His death and resurrection is this. The Helper, I will send Him to you. The Spirit of truth, I will send Him to you. So one function of the Helper, John 16:8 says, the Helper will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the Helper's job. Apparently, that's not my job or your job. You ever try to convince somebody of their being wrong or of their sin? Or, boy, it doesn't work, does it? How hard we try, try. There's no way we can ever convict somebody. I mean, we can scare somebody a bit, I guess, and they'll agree with us just to get away from us, I think. But no matter how hard we try, how many arguments we present, ultimately God is the only one that can persuade someone about their own life, about the gospel being true, about Jesus is who He said He was and is and always will be. Jesus said, no one can come to Me unless the Father draws them. That is why the most important thing we can do for a neighbor, for a brother, for a sister is to pray for them. Pray for God to bless them. Yes, we often pray, convict them. How long, O Lord? But then we have to say, well, continue convicting me of my own sin. The logs in my own eye, rather than look at the splinter in another's eye. But to pray for them. Right now, your neighbor, she doesn't believe she has any need for her sins to be forgiven. I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as these others. What's going on in the world? I'm okay. Therefore, she doesn't believe she needs Christ. Or your brother, he takes pride in his goodness. Hey. But his pride is a barrier. It needs to come down. Pray that each one will face their own spiritual emptiness. And that God will convict them of their self-righteousness and their need for Christ. But also, ask God to help you, as I ask God to help me, to be a witness, the way we live. How do we react? When something doesn't go our way or something wrong is happening. And sometimes we have no control. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Old triggers, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know where that came from. I've got some examples, but I'm not going to go there. But how do we react when things turn against us? We all can have peace when things are great. We're on top of the world. Woo, all is right. And then the other shoe drops, right? Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to His disciples. The same is true for us in our context. So the function of the Spirit, first it's in the world. The Helper will convict the world. The Spirit will bring to the world the recognition of the meaning and reality of sin and righteousness and judgment. The conviction. The Spirit is the one that will expose to those who do not believe the error of their unbelief. We can't do that. Do you have that testimony of your own life where you just all of a sudden, it's like, wow, how could I have been so wrong? Forgive my unbelief. I do believe now, Lord. So the Spirit has the function of continuing to confront the world with the presence of Jesus after His ascension. Functioning as a witness to Jesus, to the world. A Helper. That's the Helper we need. Continue your work, Lord. Don't let me or any of us get in the way of that. So second, we're part of that. The Spirit of Truth witnesses concerning Jesus to the community of believers, guiding them into all truth. In that early church, the Spirit will lead them in the way of truth on matters that Jesus hasn't even spoken about. You know, the Holy Spirit reminds of what Jesus taught and goes before them for the future, but things they don't even know yet. Jesus says in 16:14, taking what is mine and declaring it to you. Not new revelations that go against God's word, but a new word and truth for the context. How do we play this out? How do we minister in this new way, in the changing circumstances they will face? And for us, the Spirit will make the teachings of Jesus relevant to each new generation. And it does mean there's lots of changes. So if you consider the history of Christianity, the church, boy, a lot of changes have come. It used to be when the organ was presented way back, I don't know if you know this, Trish, you know, the organ was the new instrument. And, you know, there was maybe non-instrumental. It's like, what? This organ? I mean, this is hundreds of years ago. They thought it was of the devil. Can you believe that? When the organ was introduced into church life, some thought it was of the devil. Why would we bring something like that in? We know it's not, but it's a powerful instrument. Anyway, the relevancy to each new generation. All right, all this being said, where do we see the Spirit's activity in our church, in the community? The unveiled reality of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Helper, glorifying Jesus. Where is Jesus lifted up? All right, to do this, I got to share a little story. I love the Chicago Cubs. They're not doing so well on their road trip 2-4 of late out on the West Coast, but they'll be okay. I loved going to Wrigley Field, one of the oldest ballparks, maybe one of the only ballparks with a brick wall hidden by ivy. You know, so watch out running into that ivy as it's... there's probably only a few other ballparks that have actually a brick wall in the outfield. Most have wonderful cushions. And anyway, whenever you go to Wrigley Field, you check the flags. Which way is the wind blowing? It's a smaller park. If it's southwest and the flags on top of the wall and the bleachers and all that are blowing, you know, out, oh, there's going to be a lot of home runs. A pitcher's nightmare. The Cub pitchers, they always go, which way are the flags blowing? But it's also the other team, you know. They check it out. The wind blowing out is for everybody. Nobody's excluded. So likewise, we think spiritually. You know, the wind blowing out. You can't grab the wind. You can't own it. You can't package it. But you can feel the touch of the Spirit. You can see it in the lives of people. You can see it in ministries. You can see in the fruit of the ministry, people being drawn to Jesus. Jesus is being lifted up. And those sightings, when you see that, it's like a prayer flag. If you will, a prayer flag. So, wow. The Lord is working. It's a prayer flag. You know, VBS starting a week from Monday. Wow, talk about a prayer flag. Yeah, I think that's an amen. There we go. Jesus is calling. Even though things get a little messy in here, in the church, it's worth it. These little ones. Let the children come to me. So these prayer flags... You know, I believe we do have several of them. You know, there's a lot of good studies and men's and women's groups and the children's and youth ministry, VBS, Potter's House. We actually have a flag right here, Potter's House Open. And of course, the Alpha flag there. But Special Grace, Brenda's Heart for many years now, and we'll see that grow. The Cove Magazine wants to do a little article about that. Did you know that yet? Yeah, so they're going to the special grace from the Covenant Church will be highlighted in the Covenant magazine. If you don't have Cov magazine, a lot of people don't get it. It's $20 or less for a year, 12 copies. So you got to check it out. It's one of the best tools for just seeing what's going on in the covenant. But I want to highlight two examples, and the first is Alpha. And people have caught the church members and friends have caught the vision for Alpha. I mean, on Thursday nights, there's 12 to 15 people on the team. You know, it kind of fluctuates, people, things going on. But outside of that, there's many and many of you that provide food. You drop it off. And there's, you know, prayerfully made, you know, scrumptious meals. And, you know, the team is praying. And during this last session of 15 films, seven guests have been brought. I kind of was doing the counting there. Mary or anybody else, I don't know, you can check that. But and even some guests brought guests because their hearts are touched. You see their countenance change. You see, you know, as they're sharing about their life and something's happening within their soul, their spirit, they want to share that with their friends, their family, and they bring them. You know, and maybe you brought a friend one time and they didn't return, but maybe it planted a seed. You know, that's what happens. Anybody can come in the midst of any session. The next one's in the fall. But the time is now, you know, for church members and friends to bring, you know, friends, people that are open. Now is the time. The prayer flag is blowing, folks. It is blowing. The wind is blowing. Start this week. Our last gathering is Thursday night. As I said earlier, a celebration. What's happened? An introduction. This is what it's about. You know, in whose life do we see an openness? You know, maybe there's already a little bit of conviction in their life. You know, you see that. They're looking for something. Bring them or point them in the direction. Because there's an atmosphere of love. There's acceptance. There's respect. People can say whatever they want. And we just kind of say, oh, that's interesting. And you let kind of the film series disciple them. They can ask any questions. Well, we'll look into that for you. But to experience the truth of God's love for them. So important. The second one, we don't have a prayer flag, but it is a prayer flag, if you will. The prayer flag that's blowing in the wind. It's blowing. Is ministry to prisoners and families. This is something that has come to us, even most recently in a powerful way. I mean, folks have been writing letters to prisoners, been involved with Kairos inside or outside for many years. People in this church are connected to this church. But in the last, you know, the last year or so, it seems like it's evolving. A few key things have happened. Two of our newest families to the church have loved ones that recently have gone to jail. I'm coming alongside them, you know, helping them a bit. And, you know, God is moving. And we, you know, we went to the Covenant Justice Conference and they said, well, you're in a triad with these churches close by you. And you know what? You're doing a lot with prisoner and ministry prisoner and family ministry, and we'd like you to continue in that. We're going to give you money to continue in that. Not a lot of money, but between three churches, $2,500. Kids can go to camp. You know, prisoner families can be helped. Will Acevedo, half of his electrician's course while he's in jail, he's working hard, straight A's. Over $400 will be paid. You know, half of his thing will be paid for. You know, it just, and I'm scratching my head. I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. What's going on, Lord? So God is bringing together leaders and developing a team. And through the contact article or what's in the bulletin, a few of you have let me know, and I haven't talked to Pastor Ann. I should ask Pastor Ann, you know, say, hey, I want to be involved. I want to be involved in this. Show me how I can be involved. I want to help. And I tell you, we need a lot of help. Because as prisoners are released and families are cared for and reintegration into society as a citizen, you know, and getting job training and home or relocating, you know, whatever it is, going. And then many of the prisoners, they want to give back. They have found Jesus. Jesus has found them. You know, they may be behind bars, but God's word is not imprisoned. God's word is not chained. And I appreciate Dave's prayer. I don't know if everybody could hear that, but just he goes before them and us. But they want to give back. They want to go back into the prisons and help. Not as a prisoner, but as a helper. And, you know, just to confirm that, you know, the wind's blowing a little bit. You ever put your, you lick your finger, I think that's kind of cool. Lick your finger and feel which way the wind's blowing. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. I was downtown and faxing information to a warden in a prison. I tell you, even the wardens are being nice. I don't know any wardens, but in this particular case, the warden was helping this family. We needed to fax some information. I said, I can do that for you. So that sometimes it's a lot of busy work. And I was talking to the store owner, and she noticed this was going to a prison. She said, you know what? My father was in prison. You know, I start up a whole conversation. It's like, wow, she could be a resource person. And then another day, going to a teller, the young guy over there at the bank, I forget his name, I apologize for that, but he's helped us make out a money order a couple times that we send to the commissary, to prisoners, to their store. You know, just a little bit of money. They can buy pens and pencils and you know, it's very expensive too. But he noticed, he said, wow, do you know these prisoners? So yeah, our families, you know, some of the church families. Said, wow, really? And right there in my head, it clicked. It said, hey, the Thomaston Savings Bank Foundation. You know, the bank offers a lot of money to help. And wouldn't this be a worthy cause? The triad already has a budget and outcomes and what hoped for and things like that. And that's what they're looking for. And as I'm walking out, I don't know if I put it in my Bible, I probably didn't. It's on my desk. As I was walking out, there are flyers. Thomaston Saving Bank Foundation due June 30th. So are there any grant writers out there? I can't do all this. And I know I'm not. There's a whole team of people coming together. I maybe can do it, but we're going to try. Alpha. And ministry to prisoner and family. As a final illustration of all this, this is our Alpha flag. And it was mounted outside the door, right outside the office door there on the wall. You know, just nicely done. I bet Dave did that. Good job, Dave. Yeah, I don't... The flag started blowing. It was blowing so hard. I mean, the wind was howling one day. It just snapped the bracket. Right off the wall. I don't think that's an omen. But I think there's an illustration in that. Oh, we'll leave it like that. When the wind of the Spirit is blowing, when it was happening way back when and even today, nothing can stop its full effects. But we need to respond. You know, what is our function, our task? It's to cooperate with the Spirit, to see God's kingdom in heaven come here on earth in powerful ways, on earth as it is in heaven. And the Spirit is always ahead of us, already at work all around us. Our mission is to lend our support, to lend our help, to join that prayer flag ministry or other ministries that are going on. Get involved. When we see something is unveiled to us, the truth, that is God's call. And it may cause a crisis of a belief. Says, I don't have any time for this. I'm too busy. Well, take that step of faith. Offer that help. Partner with and encourage those ministries where the Spirit is already hard at work. Those prayer flags blowing. Sometimes it's hard to see, though. Really? God's working in that? Are you sure? You're kind of clueless. I don't see anything. Let me tell you a story. Just about done. It was some time ago, there was a family that got on an L train in downtown Chicago. The L trains go underground and on top of ground, and they're real noisy, rattly, but they're effective for transporting people. And it was a dad and four kids. And the four kids were up through about preteens, so young kids, and they got on the train. The train wasn't that full, but the kids were running up and down the aisle, swinging on the poles, poking people, just being obnoxious. And the passengers, were looking at this father. He seemed unattentive, uncaring. What are you doing? How can you be letting your kids? You're not correcting them. So one passenger took it on him or herself and came up to the father. Do you see your children? Do you see what they're doing? We can't have this. You see what your kids are doing? Can't you do something about this? They're misbehaving. And the father just kept downcast and he said, I don't know how they should act. We just came from Northwestern Memorial Hospital and their mother died. I don't know the end of the story, what happened after that. I'm sure there was a conversation. Maybe somebody else jumped in. We often don't know what's going on in people's lives, whether we're inviting them to VBS or Alpha or prisoner and family ministry type stuff or whatever it is. We often don't know. But there's an incredible opportunity to care for people, though. Our task is to catch up to what the Holy Spirit is already doing all around us and to be open to those He brings into our life, even on an L train or downtown Thomaston. Praying that the Lord will help us intersect with people whose hearts are being touched. Conviction is already settling in. Throw out that prayer list that you've been praying for 20 years. I mean, not literally, but the folks that you're trying to change, just whoever God is leading you to, pray for them. And pray for ourselves to surrender to changes God is bringing about. To remain open to the possibility that God is more amazing than we could possibly ever imagine. And He's gone before us. Who will say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me to where you're working all around me. I want to be part of a prayer flag ministry. I want to be part of that." Who will say, "Here am I, Lord," today? Amen.